When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Welcome back. Great to have you here. We are in the final hour. We'll talk a little basketball bottom of the hour with Pat Bradley. The SEC tournament next week, the women's tournament starts tomorrow. Let's check in with Chaplain Mack. Always good to hear from you. How are you, Chaplain?
Hey, bro. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you so much.
We're good. I know there's a lot of things going on in the bracket and all that stuff, and I've been enjoying some of that in between getting ready for my 50th anniversary with Miss Kathy.
Oh, my goodness.
Thursday. Yeah, we turned 50 Thursday together, and our church is going to give us a big party that night, and we're going to have a good time and eat and got Mexican food and Southern food and all that stuff. We're excited, but I called to kind of shift things a little bit as a chaplain and just tell you how much I appreciate the way you're able to take tragedy and shift into a solemn time without all the arguing and stuff and bring people to a soberness. And I've been wanting to tell you for a while, but I got sick and had double pneumonia and all this stuff and been working hard. I couldn't stop for a while. And I just wanted to thank you for your ability to shift almost into a pastor and then bring people into sobriety of what really matters. And that's life and love and that kind of thing. So I want to thank you, brother.
Chaplain, thank you for saying that. It's the kind of thing that you hope, it's like in your field, I hate to use the word field like you're an accountant, but you are, you're a pastor. I will say thank you, but to me in the times that we have been down that road, what has struck me is the people that call in and bring the reality home and share stories often if not always with their own faith.
That's right. I can tell you this, that it means a lot to me when we're able to stop and honor people and not dog people out and build people up when the need is there. And that means a lot to me. And it means a lot to
Let me ask you a question, because as a pastor, you do have to shift from weddings to funerals. I realize you're trained. I realize it's something that experience.
Yes,
but how are you able internally, because I'm sure it has to be gut-wrenching when you're dealing with a family going through a very difficult time.
Yes, sir. It's one of the most horrible things, because you love these people, number one. You know them well. You've walked with them. You talk with them. You've eaten with them. You've gone to ball games together. You've talked junk because, you know, I was a cop before I was a chaplain. I went to school for art, and I thought that was all I was going to be all my life, and then the Lord got a hold of me, and here I am, a chaplain, a pastor, now for 40 years, and it's hard, but the hardest thing I ever been through, I was coming in one night when I was first a chaplain, and I got a call from the Opelika Police Department where I was chaplain in Opelika, Alabama, and they called me out to minister to a family who had been in a wreck. Two folks were racing, going really fast, and they said one of them's not coming in. And I said, I got to get ready. So I got up and cleaned up a little bit and got ready and got out going toward East Alabama Medical Center. And my first cousin, who was a nurse there, called me. He was crying. He didn't cry. He said, it's bad. Your mom is not going to make it. Come to find out, it was my mother and daddy in the wreck, and they called me out to minister to the family. Didn't know it was my mother and daddy.
Oh my goodness!
And my daddy wasn't coming in that night. And I had grief amnesia for a while, and it was the toughest thing I've ever been through because I love my parents, and But it got me through it. I got through it on the other side, and it gave me a lot more compassion for what people go through. And it really helped me in the long run. And I have a lot more love than I've ever had for people after that. And there's only two things you have to do. Live right and love right. If you love right, you'll be living right. And that's what I've learned, Paul.
Mac, I can't thank you enough for sharing that story with all of us and those words, because I think too often we do lose sight of it. I mean, we come together during crisis, but it's something to subscribe to every day of the year.
Right. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever go through when you love your mom and daddy like I. My daddy taught me to throw a curveball when I was a little bitty kid. You know, I mean, he worked with me and stuff, and I was the littlest kid in junior high and high school, and finally grew up some after I got married and got bigger. But he worked with me like I was going to be the next Sandy Koufax. So.
Wow, help all of us with this, because I can't tell you how many times. And when I was a young person and was suffering a loss, and somebody would walk up to me in school to tell me how sorry they were about something that happened to me with losing my dad, in fact. And I always felt badly for them, because people aren't equipped to do that. And we all deal with it every day in some form or fashion. How do you communicate with someone who has suffered a terrible loss of any kind? Is there any, I realize there's no secret code, but how do you do it?
Well, when you've been through a lot like I have, you can look at them and you can say, you know what? There's nothing I can say that's going to make this better, but I want to tell you, I'm grieving with you and I love you. The Bible teaches that love's the most important thing, that love is the key to faith. It's the key to everything, the love of God and the love of people. And it don't matter what they think you know. It don't matter if you're a scholar or not. As long as they know you love them and you feel for them, it really works when they know you love them.
That is fantastic. I feel like...
And I've learned it the hard way.
Yeah, I bet you have. Well, by the way, congratulations for later in the week. That's going to be an amazing day, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we're actually going to celebrate 50 years Thursday, but they got the party Friday night from 6 to 10 and in Auburn at one of our churches there. And I heard they're really doing it right. So they won't let us see it or anything like that, because people just know, our group just knows how to love us. And we put our lives on the line and we love them. And now they're loving us back. And we're excited. And Kathy don't get that excited, but she's excited. And it's good to see her like that.
Well, I got a big kick a couple weeks ago. I think you told me you were going to the basketball game on Valentine's Day. I thought, you know what, that is true love, to go to a basketball game on your...
She came up with that. And the point that I made is the greatest gift ever wasn't because it's the greatest gift ever.
Right.
Going to a ball game. It was the greatest gift ever because she gave it to me.
Right, exactly.
You know, whatever Kathy does for me is the greatest for me.
Mac, let me ask you this before you go.
Yes, sir.
I think ever since you went to that game, I think Auburn's lost every game. You need to help them out here to finish the season. They're
yes,
in trouble.
Sir. I prayed for them. I prayed for them before we went to that game, and they won by 32, and they actually passed the ball.
Okay. They had a great season going, and they need a win here pretty badly.
Oh, but if they're going to get in the tournament, they better do something.
You're right. Well, hey,
You're
Mac,
right.
Thank you.
You're right.
You've shared.
God bless you. You need me, call me, brother.
Thank you. God bless you, too. And thanks
God
so
bless.
Much, and congratulations again on your milestone. We'll take a short break. We are coming back with much, much more.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back here late on Tuesday afternoon. Jesse is up next. Good afternoon, Jesse.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
I just want to touch on the Brandon Miller situation a little bit. I'm a long-time listener, probably your longest-time listener.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I knew you before. I'm a Bob Gamba Carter.
Oh my goodness, that does go back a few years. Yes,
yeah. So you know how far back I go in Birmingham radio, and you know, I've heard a couple of people say, "If I was this girl's daughter," and the worst part of this, and we shouldn't even be talking about any of this, except a mother lost her life, and that's terrible, terrible, terrible. But I think the national media is vilifying this young man without knowing. You know how long the strip is, Paul. Are you going to get a text on the strip and be a block away from somewhere and stop and try to talk somebody out of something? You know what I'm saying?
I do.
The timeline is not there. From what I understand, Brandon Miller is a pretty solid kid. And I'm going to call him a kid because that's what he is. And my other issue with all of it is the national media, ESPN especially, I saw it on CNN and I think it was in the New York Times, and even Carol Robinson wrote something the other day where it does not clarify that he is not the one. And I know you've clarified it. I know y'all have done it on your show. But he's not the one that said there's one in the head.
Right.
Most of the general public thinks he got out and handed the gun to the shooter and said, there's one in the chamber. And I heard Keyshawn Johnson say it, expound on it. And they won't clarify that point. We're vilifying a young man. We don't know what really went on. I think, you know, and the worst part of it, no doubt, is a young girl lost her life. But let's know what we're talking about before we put it over the airways. And I'm not accusing you. I'm not accusing anybody. But the assumption is out there that he literally brought the guy the gun.
Well, I have seen it many times, Jesse, reported that he delivered the murder weapon, which is highly open for conversation. I mean, it's a technical term, but there's no evidence that he ever touched the gun.
Right. Yeah. His prints aren't on the gun. And what I understand, and going back to Anthony's call earlier, a couple of segments ago, they came and got the gun.
Right. Well, there's a lot unknown, but I will say this in terms of what you said about Brandon Miller. I have heard similar things, and by the way, if I had heard bad things about him, I probably wouldn't respond. But most people that know him, and he's only been there a short time, have very positive feelings about him and his character, which the hard part is you don't hear from him.
Yeah. All you see is the pat down, and that's awful. That was awful. And Nate Oates has bungled the situation, but as we've been stated on the show today, he ain't a PR guy. He's a basketball
coach. Well, no, I mean, he's paid to be a basketball coach. And
exactly.
And I blame the people, the apparatus around him, because those people are supposed to help.
You're right.
The coaches.
Yeah, you're right.
They have not. By the way.
I will default to this, and I'll let somebody else get on. You're right. Had he been the 12th guy on the team, he'd have been gone.
But Jesse, that's part of sport. That's part of life. I've known that since I was a kid. You did too.
But my reaction to that is, yeah, it caused Nate Oates and Greg Byrne to not do that right off the bat, because they could have or not, but he is a star. So they did. Greg Byrne did his due diligence. I do not think Greg Byrne would have let him on the court if he had felt he was involved in that poor girl's murder. And I'll leave it at that.
Thank you very much, Jesse. Good to connect. Legend is up next.
What's going on, my brother? Thanks for taking my call, man.
Thank you.
Man, Paul, I really was touched by the chaplain. That was powerful. That might be called a year right there.
Yeah,
right?
It was fantastic.
Man, that touched my heart. And I hope all the folks out there realize that at the heart of the Feinbaum Show, it's about fans being a fanatic, letting their hair down, having fun. But that don't necessarily mean that's who we are 24 hours a day. Personally, my heart, man, I love people. I've seriously considered going back into the ministry to help young people in America. I mean, it's so much on my heart to help young people have direction. So I thank you, Paul, for letting us be fanatics, man. I hope that chap and everybody realize I'm not walking around 24 hours a day going, woo! Don't you agree that this show is about letting the fans...
Hey, Legend, I mean, I do this every day, and I think if I did what you did here a couple of times a week, I don't think I could make it, because I mean it's exhausting. I mean you don't just call up and say, "Hey, how you doing?" I mean you give it all.
I come in like Ric Flair with a chair.
Hey, by the way, you I like where Larry said yesterday that you stole from him when he stole from Ric Flair.
Let me tell you something, old man Larry. I appreciate a man that looks at life as a keg half full. But ain't nobody stole nothing from your old ass. I am the Ric Flair of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Woo! And the nation downs it. Limousine riding, baby. Woo! Let me tell you something, Paul. I like that Saturday Down South fella when he first come on. That's a good way to start the show, man. I like that dude. Finally, somebody told the truth about Coach Boo Boo. Woo! I like it down south. Saturday down south reminded me of Ronnie Van Zant song. It's some down south juking, and Georgia's looking for some peace of mind. Woo! They got a boo boo. Some of us know it that those sports. This ain't a sidestep. This is a misstep, and I love it, baby. Hey, Paul, these old women, boy, they've been whooping your butt this week, ain't they, man? They've been bringing it to you, brother.
Legend, I've given up. I mean, I've had more folding chairs on my shoulders this week than Jerry Lawler back in the day.
You know, when I was a kid in Birmingham, we used to watch wrestling every Saturday night in the 70s and watch old Len Rossi and Bearcat Brown and Tojo Yamamoto.
Oh, yeah, Tojo.
Yep, and I remember we used to go down to the Boutwell Auditorium on Monday night and watch the big events every now and then. And the first time I went down there, Big Bad John tied Tojo Yamamoto to the ring with a shoestring. It was funny you were talking about those old women because there was an old woman running around the ring shouting, "They gonna kill Toto! They gonna kill Toto!" And old Toto, he was playing it up. He was. What I thought about you tied to the ring, Paul. Folks running around the ring, so they gonna kill my mom. They gonna kill my mom.
I got killed by a 74-year-old woman named Dana.
Yeah, they gonna kill you, Paul. They got you tied to the ring.
Lana, Dana, whatever her name was.
And hey, Paul, before I get off, I hear you and Jim gonna have a movie done at his proctologist. Is that what I heard?
Well, he invited us to come to whatever doctor he's going to, and
that's what we need on the Firebox Show. You and Jim down at his proctologist. Did they already make a movie called Deep Rising? Did they already make that movie? Woo! Let me say this before I get out of here. My favorite group, Shinedown, has some lyrics in a song. It says, "Hard times will reveal who stands up, who walks away, and who's for real. They can come at you, Paul, just like that Auburn mob, baby. But when it comes to Fine Bomb, I'll stand up, brother. I won't walk away. And I'm a friggin' Benjamin, baby." Woo! Elvis has left the building.
And we are back. Pat Bradley joins us to give us a preview of March. The Madness begins shortly, and more of your phone calls.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This is the projections, and projections is the correct word with a couple more games in the two more games in the regular season, and then the tournament next week. Bama, the number one seed, and there's a lot of schools down in the second half of the projections that better beware. Pat Bradley joining us. Pat, let's start with the teams that need to do something here the rest of the way. It's pretty obvious from looking at that. Auburn, I want to start there because this is a team 6 weeks ago looked, I mean, not unstoppable. They looked
they
really
were
good. And you look at their resume now, and there's really not much there.
Yeah, well, they don't have any necessarily bad losses. Like, if you want to look at the numbers, they lose to Memphis. They lose to the better half of the SEC. They took a loss at Georgia, which Georgia's been pretty good at home this year. So that's really maybe a blemish. Now, I think they finish this season, right, in tough. They're playing Alabama, Tennessee. They lose that, too. Now, you probably have to win a game in the SEC tournament. And the good news for them, though.
I think you'd better.
All right, you have to. And the good news, though, they're right in the middle of the pack. So most likely that Thursday game for them is going to be a quad one game, quad
right,
one win.
Of course.
And so they don't have any quad four losses. I think right now they're 2-8 in the quad one, the coveted quad one area. So there's still opportunity even with how tough the remaining schedule is.
What about State? I mean, they are literally on the line.
Yeah, and they got South Carolina. They got to win that game. The NCAA tournament team wins at South Carolina, and I think they take care of that. They'll be securely in as well.
Let me go to the story of the season, and that's what's going on in Alabama. The off-the-court stuff is being hashed out enough up and down the dial. Let's talk about on the court. Pat, you could look quickly and go, well, they're struggling in the last two games.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Arkansas game, they're playing a team that is racing toward the finish. And the first game, the South Carolina game, who knows. But what is your level of concern from here on? Because they have two games. They have Auburn tomorrow, and then a weekend game, I think, on the road. And then the tournament, which is not essential for them to win, but if they want a number one seed, if they want the top seed, they've got to be careful.
Yeah, that's interesting because they do go at Texas A&M,
right. And it's a big game.
So if Alabama drops one, then they have and A&M wins both, they share the league conference championship. So you're right about Alabama, and I think they struggle when the team has a big man that could score. Now, what's great about their defense is they do have a bunch of size. I know Coach Oates has been talking about the physicality. Get that physicality, which is interesting because they go to Houston this year and win, which Houston is one of the most physical teams in the entire country. So I look at what separates Alabama this year. You got Betty Ako, goes 6'11". Then you got Noah Clowney, 6'10". Brandon Miller, 6'9". That's your starting front court, and one of those guys is your best offensive player. So I think they're a really good defensive team at the three-point line, and good at the rim. When you get a crafty big guy that can score right in that mid-range area, I think that's what they struggle with.
Let me ask you about Brandon Miller, the player, because there's so much obsession over what is going on or what isn't going on. But there are a lot of folks watching who have seen him play from a
right.
distance. They're not in the bubble with you. Describe him as a player and what makes him so unique.
Well, he's a knockdown three-point shooter, and I think he started the season, and that's really what he did most, more than anything. And Nate Oates said, I got to figure out ways to get him coming off screens, high pick and roll with the balls in his hand. And he's improved on that. So at 6'9", he's got the ability to rise up and knock down a jump shot over anybody that's guarding him. And now he's the ability to put it on the floor against South Carolina. They just give him the basketball. He makes a move, goes straight to the rim and scores. So his evolution in his game has now gotten him to where he's a top five pick, possibly top three NBA pick, the number one college player taken. And he's a good defender. He's a good rebounder. So he's not just an offensive guy. And that's what separates him. But you can see his improvement throughout the season on all facets of his game.
At 20 years old, he's still young in the game. Have you been
makes
able to
us feel old.
It does. Have you been able to pick up anything from watching him? And it's kind of hard to do considering his album, that maybe some of this is, or how does that happen when you have off the field distractions?
That's what, and Nate Oates has said that he might be the most mentally tough guy that he's coached, because at the end of game situations, South Carolina, that example, give me the basketball. I'm going to score, win this game. A lot of young players don't mature to that level on the basketball court with everything that is going on. And I just hope that he can continue to learn and be mature, with everything that has gone on. When you want to talk about the introduction line and all that, I mean, those are things that he's got to continue to learn and not have those types of things happen again.
I know you spent a lot of time in Arkansas in your life. Let's talk about because I mean, this was a team a couple weeks ago that people were really worried about, but nobody's worried anymore.
They struggled to score. Eric Musselman brought in a big team. After they lose to Duke last year, he says, I'm going to bring in a big team so we can compete. So they've got size, athleticism, and they were lacking during that time. Just their offense. They couldn't score, struggled to score, went through scoring droughts. Well, enter back in Nick Smith Jr., who was injured, another guy who's a top 10 pick. By the way, we got 7 first-round picks in the SEC this year. 7 of them from 5 different schools. Shows you the talent this year. But Nick Smith Jr. is a 6'5 wing player that can attack, plays the point guard, can shoot the 3. So he's a complete offensive player. And when he came back about 2 weeks ago, that was the difference in this Arkansas team. I mean, he gives them that element where another guy that you can give the basketball and create. I think that's the one thing about college basketball. You don't have many guys that are so talented offensively that they can create their own shot. It's a lot of, well, we got to run the play, set up, get it to the post, or kick out for a 3. He's one of those guys that can get his own shot against any defense.
And let me, before you go, ask you about the other side of that, because Tennessee is – we've had guests on over the winter and absolute Final Four team. I don't hear that anymore. This team has hit a rough patch. What's going on?
It has. So they had 2 starters out, Julian Phillips and Josiah Jordan-James. They're getting back. Triple J is back. And they don't have that kind of player that's going to break you down, like we were talking about Brandon Miller or Nick Smith Jr. What they do is rely on good half-court offense, right? Hard cuts, hard curls, hard screens, move the ball, lead the league in assists. And I think when those guys were out, that's when they struggled a lot. And with those guys back in, it gives them not only another shooting option, scoring option, but Josiah Jordan-James is like another point guard on the floor. Really good passer, smart, understands when to cut. So that concern of Tennessee, because they're the number one defensive team in the country, was on the offensive end. And those guys are going to help in terms of them being able to score the ball a lot better.
Pat Bradley, the night is young, and there's a lot of the game everyone's following tonight, and a couple of other ones as well. We'll see you next week in Nashville.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Pat Bradley joining us as we take a break. We are back. Final few minutes of the show right after this. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.